In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a special commemoration for the first Saturday of Lent. We celebrate a miracle that occurred in Lent long ago, in the first week of Lent long ago, that involved Saint Theodore the Great Martyr, also called the Soldier, Saint Theodore the Soldier. It happened in the 300s that the Emperor Julian the Apostate, who grew up Christian but became pagan and was fiercely anti-Christian, wanted to make a mockery of the Christian fast. And so he ordered that all of the food in the marketplace be tainted with the blood of pagan sacrifices, secretly, so that the Christians wouldn't know, and therefore they would secretly, unknowingly defile themselves by partaking of that defiled food. And so Saint Theodore, the great martyr, appeared in a vision to the Archbishop of Constantinople and warned him of the emperor's plot and instructed him that the people should eat koliva. And the Archbishop said, "That's great. What is koliva?" And Saint Theodore explained to him that it is a boiled wheat dish with sugar mixed into it that the people in his region, the saint's region, would eat. And so the people in Constantinople were all instructed, and for that first week of Lent, instead of going to the marketplace, they took wheat that had not been defiled and prepared it as koliva, and that's what they lived on for the first week of Lent. And so on Saturday, after that week had finished, they celebrated the memory of Saint Theodore because he had preserved them from the emperor's plot. And so ever since then, on the first Saturday of Lent, we celebrate the memory of the holy great martyr, Theodore, the soldier. And today's epistle reading is appointed in his honor. It talks about being a soldier for Christ. We celebrate these saints called great martyrs who were all soldiers. They were all Roman soldiers. I think they were all Roman soldiers, but they were all soldiers. And they were also martyrs for Christ. And we celebrate them because, not for their heroism in battle, but for their heroism in resisting the plots of the persecutors, even to the point of dying. In imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself persevered in faithfulness to God even to the point of death. And these great martyrs are, of course, an example for all of us, because all of us, according to the scriptures, are also soldiers for Christ. We are called to endure through whatever battles, whatever spiritual battles, we may have to fight in order to stay close to Christ. And St. Paul knew about these spiritual struggles. He knew about hardships, about suffering hardships for Christ. In fact, as he was writing this epistle, he was in the city of Rome as a prisoner, awaiting trial, and actually awaiting what would be his martyrdom at the hands of the Romans. So, and before this, even before this, many times, as he tells us in his epistles and also as we read in the book of Acts, he had suffered so many things for Christ. Being chased out of towns, being locked in prison, being beaten, stoned. And so he writes from prison after this long experience of suffering for Christ, encouraging his disciple Timothy, who was also an apostle, and he was entrusted with leadership of the church in a certain region, encouraging Timothy to stand firm in the faith. He says to him, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And that share is important, because we don't suffer alone when we suffer for Christ, but we suffer beside all of those faithful who are throughout the world striving for the sake of righteousness. And also we suffer together with all of those who have come before. It's a co-suffering that we as Christians endure. And in his encouragement of Timothy, St. Paul cites three very simple, everyday images of the kind of faithfulness that we need to demonstrate as Christians. The faithfulness of the soldier, of the good soldier, the faithfulness of the athlete who competes according to the rules, and the faithfulness of the farmer who diligently works the land. He says, no soldier on service gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to satisfy the one who enlisted him, his general, his commander-in-chief. Because he wants to please his commander, he doesn't get distracted by what's going on outside of the army. He has a laser focus on the mission. Likewise, we as Christians who have been enlisted into this spiritual army by our commander, Jesus Christ, we need to have that same laser focus on our mission and not to be distracted by everything that's going on in the world. Not to be distracted specifically by worldly pursuits, by the pursuit of money and pleasure and fame and all of those worldly things that so easily distract us. And the soldier who is devoted in this way is rewarded with the favor of his commander. And this is the promise to us as well, that if we remain devoted to Christ, then he will show us his favor. Remember what the Lord said. He said, if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my heavenly Father. But if you claim me before men, if you stay loyal to me before men, then I will also claim you before my Father. So, like soldiers, we ought to be devoted to our commander's instructions, to our mission, and not to be distracted. He goes on, and St. Paul says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And we have to sort of read into the background of this statement. So an athlete can win by cheating, right? By breaking the rules, by, let's say, using steroids or by some other form of deception. But if an athlete wants to keep the rules and win, then he has to put in the work. He has to practice. He has to be disciplined in what he eats and how he lives in order to prepare himself, because he's denied himself that shortcut of the cheat, right? So the athlete who competes according to the rules is an image of discipline. The athlete who is so disciplined is rewarded with the crown of victory, with the crown of glory. Likewise, we as Christians who have been called to struggle to wrestle against all the forces of evil in this world, to wrestle against the plots of the devil, we have to be disciplined. And that's exactly what we're doing during Lent. In ancient times, fasting and asceticism in general were understood to be preparation for martyrdom. At that time, when Christians faced martyrdom, they knew that when they came to that ultimate struggle, that ultimate contest, that ultimate sort of wrestling match with the devil, when they were confronted with that choice, if you hold on to Christ, you will die. But if you renounce Christ, you can live. That when they came to that moment, they had to be prepared. You know, if they were sort of soft, spiritually speaking, if they were unpracticed in doing the right thing, even though it's hard, then they would easily renounce Christ and give up on Him. But if through their ascetical disciplines, they had gained that firmness of purpose, they had strengthened themselves to say yes to Christ and no to the things of this world, then they would be able to stand firm. And likewise, for us, we have to be disciplined in practicing these things that the church has given us so that when we are confronted with whatever trial it is, even if it's short of actual martyrdom, when we are confronted with some adversity that seeks to push us away from Christ, that we'll be able to stand firm. So we are called like athletes to be disciplined, to put in the work, to be prepared for the struggle that is before us. And if we do so, we are promised that same crown of glory, that same crown of victory from our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, St. Paul gives us the image of the hard-working farmer. And if you know anything about farming, it is hard work. If you want to actually make a living at it, it's very hard work. The hard-working farmer is an image of diligence. Getting up at the crack of dawn, before the crack of dawn, every day doing the same boring work that is necessary in order to reap the harvest. The hard-working farmer, it is the hard-working farmer, St. Paul says, who ought to have the first share of the crops. So the one who shows this diligence, who has prepared the harvest by the sweat of his brow, he is the one who deserves to eat first the rewards of the fruit of his labor. Not only does he deserve it, but he needs it, right? Because he has put so much work in that he needs that nourishment. He needs that sustenance. And likewise, Christ promises that if we are diligent in cultivating our souls through all of the spiritual practices that he's given us, that we will be sustained and nourished by the fruits of our own labors, that they will give us that spiritual nourishment that sustains us through this difficult life. So St. Paul here encourages not only Timothy, but us with these very simple examples, but that are so very poignant, so very meaningful, calling us to be devoted soldiers, to be disciplined athletes, to be hard-working, diligent farmers in our service of Him, so that we might receive all of those blessings that He has promised us, to the glory of His Father, together with His all-Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.